It's Wednesday, the 8th of November, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And we're back this week with what is probably promising to be another compact episode. There's probably a really, really good media word I could use, but we're going to go with compact. Going to look back at the Devils' win over Sheffield on Saturday, the only game of the weekend. Go through your Rahmite suggestions and burning questions from Twitter before previewing the coming weekend's action. So Saturday was the only game of the weekend for the Devils and for the Steelers, in actual fact, and they came down to Ice Arena Wales for the first time this season, with Devils having won one on the road in overtime. And that crushing 4-0 loss just a couple of weeks ago. In a complete contrast to the 4-0 defeat, Devils came out with hell of a start, Sean. With a goal inside 55 seconds, but I don't think the puck left the Sheffield half in all that time.
No, and it was a good opening goal as well. We controlled the zone well, and Andrew Hotham finds himself, you know, he takes a shot on net, goes wide, manages to find himself back in his defensive area, and Andrew Hotham, doing what Andrew Hotham does best, you know, cuts through the slot, manages to outweigh Ervis Mustakov. Mustakov goes down easy as anything, and Andrew Hotham just lifts it over him. Sean Bendivoli was credited with the goal, but I'm not entirely convinced that it did touch him, being stood behind the net. So, perfect play from Andrew Hotham, and you just look, what a game he had overall. But just to start off with, yeah, as you said, we started off remarkably well. We just came out, hit everything. We were intense, we were fast, we created a lot of chances, went north. Just played Devils hockey, and it was awesome.
Yeah, to say, we hadn't even seen him by the time the goal went in, but Justin Farina returned to the ice the first time in a couple of weeks, and slotted in on, you know, in a fourth line role. Obviously, I guess Andrew Lord thinking that easing back in, and the fact that the top three lines have been working very well. So, you know, Justin Freeman was back in the lineup. As Sean said, we kept the intensity up, but Sheffield, you know, we weren't going to keep Sheffield out of our zone forever. And it became quite an end to end game. Sheffield managing to exert a little bit of pressure. And Andreas Valdic, you tied the game up, Sean, just inside 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think Fitzgerald sort of got the puck on net. The rebound, Bounds had the initial save on it pretty well, but I think the rebound sort of got screened by a couple of defensemen on the play. Valdic just slots in quite nicely on the play and puts it into us. Basically an empty net. I think we could have done a bit better to clear the puck out of the zone and out of that danger area. But like you said, you're never gonna. It's a tough team to shut out. And I think with just a bit of potluck in that case, and got them straight back in the game though. And I thought at that stage it might, because we'd started so well and been so intense, that to tie the game up that soon might sort of put us back a couple of steps, but it didn't. We just kept going and kept getting better.
Yeah, as you said, just kept on it, and so it wasn't long for the first penalty of the game, with Levi Nelson getting called for tripping. And the Devils unit, a couple of shifts on the power play. As I read, it was one of those power plays where everything clicked. We've spoken in previous weeks, Aaron, about the special teams. Seems to have been a bit of a problem at the start of the season. Obviously, it's something that we've almost built our seasons on under Andrew Lord. But the last few weeks, it really seemed to click. And, with just 3 seconds left of the power play, Andrew Hotham restored the lead, Aaron.
Yeah, like you said, Paul, the power play this season hasn't been great. But I think last week, while the guys were training, I think Lord just drummed into power play, power play, power play, and you know every pass was on the tape, and it was almost, well, inch perfect every pass, tape to tape. It was you could see that we worked really hard to get it right, and we finally did. And Hotham, takes a one-timer from inside the face-off dot and rips it over Moose's glove. And, you know, we're 2-1 in front. And like you said, it was probably my favorite part of the game, the fact that Sheffield took a penalty with about 5 seconds left of the power play, and then Hotham decided to rip one with 3 seconds left. So we were back on the penalty kill at power play, sorry. And it was just amazing because, you know, that kind of killed the game for Sheffield a little bit, you know, tired legs, a lot of penalty killing time, and we just took full advantage of it, really.
It was an absolute rocket as well from Andrew Hotham, so much that he actually fell over doing it.
It was like a knee, it's like he shot it on his knee. It was amazing. I was like, I wish I could repeat what I was saying when that goal went in.
Obviously you could, because it's a family sport and you wouldn't have been bearing, but yeah, you've obviously just forgotten. As Aaron said, Sean, you know, it's got to be massively disheartening to concede a goal, you know, 1 minute 57 into the power play. To learn that you're going straight back on and your killers are going straight back out there for another 2 minute kill has got to properly, you know, just dishearten the team a bit. And obviously Sheffield did keep us out, but it wasn't that long again before they ran into penalty trouble again. And, you know, it was different on that third one, you know, everything clicked again and Matt Pope got the goal. But, you know, do you think that sort of almost 6 minutes of penalty killing in, you know, 8 minutes of game time, you must have had an impact on, you know, that third power play chance for the Devils.
Yeah, and it's a big momentum killer for sure, because, you know, your killers are spending a lot of time out there. Your top guys don't get so much ice time because, like I said, you are killing those. We're very lucky in our situation that our best player is also one of our best penalty killers in Joey Martin. But for Sheffield, obviously, when they're killing penalties, Matthew Waugh isn't out there. You know, not all, as much as they'd like, and he's obviously one of their go-to guys scoring-wise. So, you know, the opportunity for shorthanded goals maybe don't come up quite so often, and, yeah, you just... It must just kill you, because, like, you just think... I think you just think, geez, you know, 3 seconds more, and we'd have been, you know, at least down a goal, but then not killing for a further two sort of thing. So, yeah, it must have been disheartening, but I, like Aaron, I quite enjoyed it. It was quite thoroughly enjoyable. Oh, it was awesome, yeah. But it definitely does kill a lot of momentum, because don't forget your killing is a momentum builder as well. You know, you kill penalties and you get your guys fresh out there, your top guys, and killing penalties constantly does bring about motivation. We've been one of the best penalty killing teams in the league the last 3 years, and you look at how well the crowd reacts to killing penalties, just because you know the guys have got to work that extra little bit harder, and it brings the crowd into the game a little bit more. Obviously, as the road team, it wouldn't have affected Sheffield quite so much, but it must have just been an absolute nightmare for them.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, after conceding a goal, it's always that next shift that you almost want to hit back straight away, and you almost don't get the chance, as you said, you know, with your kill unit out there again. But as I said, Matt Marquardt took a cross-checking penalty, and so just over a minute into that power play, Matt Pope, you know, gave the Devils their third and what turned out to be a final goal, Sean.
Yeah, and another good goal as well. I like the fact we're getting offense from all different areas. And Matt Pope, since coming back from injury, he doesn't look like he's missed out much. He doesn't look like he's missed a lot of games. He's been playing regular ice time, getting his power play minutes, producing, still very quick. We like you just said, you know, Andrew Lord's always been a very big into his special teams, and they've been our bread and butter over the last couple of years, and they're coming up big again, and yeah, they're doing a great job at the moment. I'm glad that Pope is getting some good time on there.
And in terms of scoring, you know, that was it for the first period. If you look at the shots on goal, it was 12-all. I think it probably doesn't paint an accurate, you know, I think if we had things like possession and ice, possession and your territory, it would be very heavily weighted in the Devils' favour. But as it were, equal shots, but that was very happy going with it. A comfortable 3-1 lead as well.
Yeah.
Second period, normally showing, you know, you think no scoring period, you know, must probably a bit flat. Devils holding on to that 2-goal lead almost, but almost the exact opposite. You know, came out flying again, and yeah, I think the fact that we didn't score, or that we didn't score another goal in the game, the way that we played was. What did you put it down to? Was it an excellent night for Moose? Was it just a bad bit of luck for the shooters?
A bit of both. I think Mustakov did make some key saves when we should have scored a couple, but I also do think that we had a lot of good chances. We weren't as clinical as, you know, you'd expect us to be. Overall, scoring through the night, we should have absolutely buried Sheffield. They could, you know, if they had taken a point from that game, it would have been down to us, our sheer ineptitude and lack of ability to score, and the fact that Moose had played a good game. So I think a bit of both is the fair way to put it.
The stats, the shots don't always tell the whole story. But out shooting the Steelers 10-3, gives you an indication that you're still very little zone time, created very little in that second period. But in just one of those sort of, two goal leads, everyone says they're the worst leads in sport. And Sheffield getting to the end of the second in that situation would have given them a boost. And unsurprisingly, did come out a little bit harder, or a little bit faster, managed to make more chances. In the third, Devils only took two penalties during the game. So Paris having one in the second, Strachan in one in the third. So, a good discipline game from the Devils. And managed to hold Sheffield out until, with just 30 seconds left. They seemed to spend a while, Sean, making the decision to pull Moose. I think it was only about a minute left on the clock, which surprised me with a two-goal deficit. But with 31 seconds left, Scott Arson cuts the deficit to one, and a nervous 30 seconds for everyone in Ice Arena Wales.
Yeah, and you and I were looking at each other in that third period thinking Thompson hasn't even looked once at the goal. I think we were both surprised how long it took him to pull Mustakov's, but obviously it paid off. They scored a good goal. It was an absolute rocket from Arson. I did sort of make for a touchy, last, minute of the game, but at least it wasn't boring.
Well, yeah, who wants boring? I'd love to be bored. We've scored so many that it's become boring. The game restarted.
Yeah, I can't wait for us to win 12-0 at home against Sheffield one day, or 11-0. What was it we went up and watched? Yeah, I'm sure that'd be terrible and boring.
Oh, yeah, it must have been awful for those Steelers fans having to endure that.
Oh, yeah.
So Steelers restarted with Moose on the bench, but weren't able to really make any chances. And the Devils ran out 3-2 victors in, probably confident in saying, is the most one-sided one-goal game I've seen us win in as long as I can remember, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. We could have run away with it if we took a few more of our chances, if we was a bit more clinical, but at the end of the day, 2 points against Steelers, I don't care how they come, whether we smash them 15-0 or we beat them by one goal, it doesn't matter as long as we win. And, we done it. We played well. If we can find out a little bit of a scoring touch a bit more, then I'll be happier. But I'll take a two-point weekend out of 2 points, so I'm an happy man at the moment.
Yeah, that potentially, Sean, that loss in Sheffield a couple of weeks back, 4-0, at the moment looks to have been a bit of a turning point for the Devils.
Yeah, it does. And I think Lord said it after in his post-game interview that we just offered nothing. We forgot how to battle. And Andrew Hotham said in his post-game interview as well that everyone's sort of, getting a feel, getting a bit better of a feel. We're starting to find an identity. Guys are working a little bit harder. Obviously, we're not quite short bench. I think we actually were back to our full quota of imports with Farina's return. So it'll be good when we get everybody back and we have a full selection and we have guys playing that little bit extra to make sure that they're playing game in, game out. But at the moment, I can't complain with the work rate and the effort that the guys are putting in, and we seem to have turned a corner.
Yeah, and obviously hope that keeps running. It's left the Devils languishing, well, not languishing, down in sixth place in the league, so it does look quite mid-table-y. But the teams above us, we've got at least four games in hand on everyone, with a massive 7 games in hand on Sheffield. So it's probably one of the bugbears of the Elite League that, you know, games get played in such a different, you know, disparate way that really until February sometimes you've got no idea of looking at a table who's in pole position. So, you know, last year it was us having played the extra games with the points. The other way around this year, we got the games in hand to need to go and get them. So that was all of the weekend. So our player of the week is effectively a man of the match. We're still going to call it a player of the week. Aaron, who is yours?
In my eyes, he didn't get credited for one, but he did score two goals. He scored my favourite goal of the game, and he's been kind of Mr. Consistent over the last 4 years, so I'm going to give it to Mr. Andrew Hotham, and there's not much more you can say. If you can play, you can play.
That is true. It's Andrew Hotham for me as well. He's when we were in the slump, we talked a couple of times about how he seemed to be trying to carry the team. But you know, the team's up with him now, and he's not needing to do that side of it, and it's showing he's sort of managed to, he's exerting the control on games that we've come to expect. And you know, as Aaron said, scored the one goal, and you arguably scored the first, but regardless, the work to make the goal happen was outstanding. Whoever did get that final touch. So it's Andrew Hotham, and is it a clean sweep, Sean?
Yep, clean sweep this week. Can't disagree with anything that's been said. He was awesome. Just controlled everything that he was involved in. The two goals. He did try and drag a couple of penalties out at some stage as well. He was just a menace all around the ice. And I can't disagree with anything that anyone said. I thought he was fantastic.
So congratulations to Andrew Hotham, who's this week's player of the week. So it's social media time. So Sean's awake and on it for this week's Ramite suggestions.
Yep, this week's Ramite suggestions. We had Tony Dickon. Loved watching us beat the Steelers on Ice Time TV, but hated being so ill that he couldn't make it to the rink. Jason Manley said, good, we hammered the Steelers. I've slightly corrected his poor use of vocabulary there. Bad was no Tomo meltdown, just a couple of attempts to start a Mexican wave. Obviously referring to Paul Thompson throwing his arms up in the air, which I quite
enjoyed.
On a regular basis. I thought it was very funny. But those are our two romances. Thank you very much for sending them to us.
And just, we will get on to Jason's burning question. But I think Jason just wants to start just to give us new segments. He's came up with a joke this week. He's given up on getting, he's kept it on the lines. What's Bob Marley's favourite Steelers line? It's the one we jammed him. I feel like Jason's wasted as a listener almost. Consistently the best output we get is just reading from tweets. Thank you again, Jason. And I think Elite League jokes, there's got to, well, I think
there's a market for it. There's a market for it somewhere.
Yeah, I think DOPS for a long time was probably what we could have called it. if you just terrible jokes like that are good, that's what you want. But the burning question, Sean, which also has come from Jason this week.
Yeah, okay, so hashtag burning question. From Jason Manley. If you do have any burning questions for us, do send them in, because we do like getting them occasionally, and it gives us something extra to chat about. And Jason asked the question, if all EIHL teams had to swap coaches, who would you choose to pick as the Devils head coach? Paul, do you want to go first?
Yeah, it's one of those, I obviously saw it a couple of days ago when it was sent through, and sort of been thinking about it on and off, and it's a really difficult one, because you look around the league and there's obviously good coaches that have achieved a lot. You've got your Paul Thompsons, your Corey Nielsens, and you've got sort of the up and coming guy. You got like an Adam Keefe, Omar Pasha as well. So there's a big mix, and you think our biggest success in a long time. Well, arguably, all of our biggest successful periods have come from rookie coaches. I don't think John Lawless had coached prior to, you know, to him coming to Cardiff. Obviously, Andrew Lord, Gerard Adams was a rookie coach as well.
Ed Patterson,
who won the Challenge League. All the coaches we've had that have won stuff in our time as Devils fans, Sean, have been rookie coaches.
I think Glenn Mulvenna was a rookie coach as well. Possibly.
Yeah, I think he might have been.
And built quite a competitive Elite League team for what was one of the smaller teams at the time when he started out, and in the BNL was still competing. I feel like he was a rookie coach. I think we'd have been hard pressed to find an experienced bench coach at that sort of time in our history sort of thing.
To be fair, we did run straight into Dave Whistle after that, who obviously had done a fair bit. But yeah, I see where you're coming from, because we'd had that extra year at the Elite League app coming out of the BNL. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I'm going to look at it more of a almost like a crossing exercise, and rather than just choosing a name. I think I couldn't see, and if either of you disagree, do say. I think you'll be hard pushed. I cannot imagine Paul Thompson coaching a Cardiff Devils team.
Nope. Yep. No. Never ever. Draw.
Same one.
Well, he was the one I was going to pick, to be honest.
We've got a discussion point. Here we go. So, what? Why Paul Thompson?
He wins trophies.
It's difficult because I think obviously. Winning trophies the way he does it?
I think the thing is, right. I'm purely looking at it. I'm not looking for, like, I know it's meant to be the swap, but what I'm looking at is, like, say, never coached in the UK before, and then taking it from that, like, and if you look at Paul's track record, I know he's coached Elite League teams, but he held, how many Elite League titles have he won? 8? Somewhere along those lines. He's won a lot of trophies, and he doesn't go about his business the right way. Well, what I consider the right way, and doesn't, his actions are wrong. Like, if you like, it's kind of like he's cut. This is gonna, like, I'm not praising him up here, but he's kind of like what I would consider like a Jose Mourinho type coach. You know, wins a lot of trophies. Not really well liked. It's either his way or the highway kind of coach, but he wins trophies, so you can't really turn him down. I wouldn't want him as a coach right now, but the pure fact that
he's taking one,
he could win trophies, is, you know, like, if you can compare him to, bar Andrew Lord, compare him to any other coach in the Elite League, literally any other coach in the Elite League currently, I for winning trophies, I don't really see another option.
Fair enough. I thought I'd start with Paul Thompson, as we'd have a quick no from everybody, and that had gone. Mine's a quick no,
but I will say, just to jump in on it, the one merit I would give him is that it may be because of the system that they come up in, but Liam Kirk, Cole Shudra, and I think it's Kieran Brown are all getting chances with the setup that they're having in Sheffield. Yeah. And I think that does have a lot to do with Paul Thompson being general manager there as well. So from a development perspective of, you know, developing British youngsters, which we will need going forward, because Mark Richardson's not getting younger, Josh Batch isn't getting younger, all this sort of thing. We are lucky to have Craig Moore, but long term, I think that's something which I'd like to see us do more of. But I do think Paul Thompson benefits from having access to the best British development, to the best hockey development program in the UK.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that he's done that, and it is good. And I think Aaron is spot on in that. If you want someone that is probably, if you're looking purely at the odds of winning a trophy or winning the league specifically, I think Paul Thompson would be the guy. I don't know that. Everyone jokes about his excuses, but it is the Jose Mourinho thing of, you're deflecting attention away from your players most of the time. people are having a go at you, not the players. They're taking the mick out of your excuses. If it's all for that, then there is a reason, but it's just, I don't know. I wouldn't like to see it if it was me making the
your
choice.
Your heart doesn't want to see it.
Yeah, that's what it kind of is for me. I'm not going, like, because realistically, out of everyone in the Elite League currently coaching, like, I'd rather give one of my arms away than get rid of Andrew Lord. Like, do you know what I mean? But purely, like, so it's for me, it's more like of a factual and statistical thing. Like, if I want to win, if we're going to win, carry on winning trophies, then you're going to give it to the guy who has the most experience in that job, because bar Corey Nielsen, who's only really won the Challenge Cup and the league once, he does it pretty decent in the Europe as well, but bar Corey Nielsen, there's not one other league coach in the league who's won a trophy in the last 5-6 years. So
talking about Corey Nielsen, so going to move on to him next, and probably for me is, if I was balancing up head and heart, I think he'd probably be the one to pick. He's not my pick, but as Aaron said, he's won the Challenge Cup. I think this season, the season that Nottingham won the league, they were outstanding. It's one of the strongest teams we've seen in quite a while. The almost Grand Slam season. You're winning the Continental Cup last year. Their performance in the CHL this year. But for me, I do think, with all that said, he's a cup coach. And I loved winning the league last year. We haven't done it enough. I want a coach that's, so in that case, I should go Paul Thompson, but I haven't, because I'm far too emotional about it. But I've realised that I've just said I should have gone for Paul Thompson because I want to win the league. But I think Corey Nielsen, he's just, for me, he feels like a cup coach, and he's brilliant at it, but has usually struggled to put it together over a whole league campaign.
Yeah. It's interesting with Nielsen, because I do think that on the bit, Nottingham, when was the, I think Nottingham went last year without a trophy.
Yeah, that's
true. They won the Continental Cup. The Continental Cup. So domestic trophy, they haven't gone many years without winning a trophy. And it's been 4 years since they won the league. 4 years since they won the league, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's difficult. Would I win the league once every, obviously in Nottingham, it'd be once every 56 years, but however many years it was. If you went and won it this year and didn't win a cup, but then won a cup for the next 3 years, would I consider that a successful, return? And my answer would be yes. He's not my pick either, by the way, but I can see your logic in that, but I also think maybe that working in a place like Nottingham, that I don't know, I feel like they're very particular about the players they bring in. I think that I think Gary Moran has a lot to do with, the overall final say and all. I just don't know if Corey's been allowed enough freedom in his recruitment. He's had the resources, but whether he's had the freedom to recruit the players he'd wanted to is maybe something which may be disputed. So in that aspect of it, I could probably see him being my pick. But he's got a lot of pros to him, without a doubt. You look at Corey and the cons that he has, and that's just that he hasn't won the league that many times. But then he did start as a player coach, and I think he has grown into quite a good coach. And whenever we go to Nottingham, they seem to set up particularly well against us. Maybe that's because he has Andrew Lord figured out, but I don't know. I think that Nielsen is my runner-up, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. So the one thing on Nielsen as well, I think you talk about the Nottingham setup. They, as a rule, seem quite slow in terms of replacements and injuries and things that you often hear their fans being frustrated in the way that they replace players. So even if they do, they're not necessarily the calibre. So, with that extra support, maybe, and I feel like we've made a stronger case for him than you'd imagine, given that he's not either of our picks. Looking around the league, I very quickly, I don't, it's Danny Stewart, I could not ever see. There's not many players that I've disliked more than Danny Stewart throughout my time as a Devils fan, so he's gone. Peter Russell, Paul Dixon, the new coaches that have come up, not seen enough of them. Todd Duty-Am, again, he's not done a lot of him in Fife. And then the two new guys in Scotland, John Tripp and Chris Dish, they've not started particularly well, so not going to be your picks. Ryan Finnerty, if I say your name, your pick, do shout, but I'm sort of going to work down to two now. So Ryan Finnerty is the bridesmaid. It's been his coaching career apart from that 1 year in Sheffield. I think we should be down to just Omar Pasha and Adam Keefe to discuss. And I'm assuming, I'm hoping, Sean, that your pick's one of those.
It's not.
I feel like I said all the other names.
Yeah, I just didn't jump out because I didn't want to. I wanted you to pick first.
that's cool. Adam Keefe is one of those players that went in his prime. You'd love to have seen him in a Devil's shirt. He ticks that Andrew Lord box of being your heart on his sleeve player. You're moving into coaching. But he's just Belfast going through. Obviously, in this hypothetical scenario, every coach is moving, so he's got to end up somewhere. But I do just wonder, would he have the Adam Keefe impact anywhere else other than Belfast? Because he's got the fan base behind him. The players that have played with him know what he's done. He's just got that aura around him in Belfast at the moment. And I think he'd lose an element of that wherever he ended up. So for me, it'd be Omar Pasha. I think he's consistently overperformed in the teams he's been in. He, 2 years he coached Hull. The second year got them to the playoffs, got them to within a disputed goal line review goal of being into the final of the playoffs. I do feel for him up in Dundee this year. They're running really short benched. He's pulled his skates back on, which I think just shows you the measure of him as a character. And did a great job in Manchester, picking that team up from scratch and getting a competitive team on the ice really quickly to make sure they were able to get on the fan base. And I do think that with the right support in the right team, I think he could be one of those coaches that coaches at the top level. And he's just the type of coach that I'd love to see with the Devils as well. Omar Pasha, guess my biggest. It's admittedly a gamble. You should say Thompson as Aaron did, should say Nielsen as me and Sean probably just discussed that we probably should have. Omar Pasha for me. So Sean, which of the players, coaches that I so terribly quickly disregarded, guess your vote?
Who do you think I'm going to pick?
I've been looking at the names over and over again, and I can only... Danny Stewart?
No.
Or Finnerty? No.
Brian Finnerty's my pick.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. You mentioned the bridesmaid thing. He should have won three league titles in Bread. There's no doubt about it. He should have won three league titles. But I think that Ryan Finnerty is just a character. First is last. He's a character. He's one of these guys that whenever something goes wrong in the league, you look at the Scott Masker thing. Ryan Finnerty wanted to sell his league championship ring from Sheffield and put the funds into the Matchka, which is fantastic. He's a good human being, first is last. I do think that with Braid, he did put some talented teams together. I think his biggest mistake was having Carl Jones, the greatest goaltender in the world, coming back on a regular basis, to be quite honest with you. So, Trevor Hendricks as well. One of his standards, Jeff Ulmer. List them off.
His pick is getting better and better, Sean.
I know. Tell me about it. Overall, you look at the players that he's put together this year in Manchester, right? So, that's a good side of Manchester this year, and they've got a bit more spending power above them with this new ownership, maybe. But you just look at the players they've brought in. you know, they managed to get Matt Becker from Brayhead. They kept Matt Bissonnette, who's obviously now gone to Belfast. Jay Rosehill they took from Brayhead. Scott Pitt they coaxed out of retirement, I think.
Scott Pitt was playing in Europe, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, they've still managed to coax him back is more the point I'm saying. So, you know, Finity must have that sort of relationship with players where, you know, if I just think that he played for the Devils. He was the captain of the Devils. And much as we, you know, he was one of those players who played for Sheffield. We never, ever expected him to see him here. And yeah, he might have been a bit fiery and taken some stupid penalties, but he played the game with a heart in his sleeve. I think he coaches with it as well. He's a very emotional coach. And I don't know. I just feel like he's still a young coach in a way. He started off in Sheffield, which was the worst place for him to start off. I feel like that hurt him in his development a bit, but I think Manchester right now is the perfect place for him. And they're doing well, you know. I think that they've got a good side together. They're going to play a good brand of hockey in their own barn. And overall, I just think that in terms of what he's got going for him and the overall package which you bring, I think over Omar Pasha, but if he's got that little bit more experience behind him, and I feel like he could do a job. If we were desperate for a coach in the Elite League, I would pick Finity out of all of them.
Interesting. I think you made a good point with what he's done in Manchester. An element of that could just be that they've got the spending power that potentially is a bit above their conference rivals at the moment. So, you know, could be outside of it, but it's definitely a solid pick. I think it was quite an interesting, and I sat here thinking Omar Pasha is just a ridiculous choice for a club that wants to go for the league, but there we go. I think he's cool. So thanks, Jason. Do send us burning questions, like anyone, anything that you think make a decent discussion point. It's always good to talk about things a little bit differently. So it's time for the upcoming weekend. Back to two games, and the first game, a trip across the water to play Belfast. Played them once this season at home. A game that seems to be a race to the bottom in terms of quality, that the Devils, they won the race to the bottom, ran out losers in that one. But going to Belfast, who have had a massive away stand, not got a lot of home games left before Christmas either. So I'm sure they're going to be wanting to make the most of this. But they'll be doing it, Sean, without Jim Vandermeer, who's Dobbs have announced a two-game ban for today.
Yeah, and they're going to miss him as well. Probably their best defenceman. Without a doubt, one of their more seasoned players. He's got a lot of NHL experience behind him. They'll anytime you miss, you know, you lose out on ice in a player with that sort of attitude towards the game. He plays the game in the right way, I feel. Very, very good player, and they're definitely going to miss him.
Yeah, obviously he also didn't play. I think injured that time in Cardiff, but was on the bench, so obviously won't be able to do that this week. And in Cardiff did seem to be one of the main calming influences that stopped Adam Keefe having an even bigger meltdown than he was in the process of having during the game. I think Adam Keefe may have even iced on this weekend just gone.
I think he has iced in the last couple of weekends, yeah.
Not always clear to tell, but I think, you know, a few injury worries on top of the Vandermeer ban. And you know, one of those is Stephen Murphy, who's not played now for some time. Belfast have brought in a new goalie, Chris Trull, who, amazingly, and it's one of my favourite things, Aaron has missed this story previously, and I wish we hadn't told him off air, but the amazement in Aaron when we advised that Belfast had signed a new goalie who's allergic to ice was something special. But I wish we could have shared. I should have just recorded that, us telling him. So Chris Trull is allergic to ice, so plenty of ice showers, I think. Order of the day, Aaron.
Is it allergic to ice or allergic to the cold?
The headline said ice, but it is the cold, I think.
I think it's the cold, yeah. But still,
it makes a better headline. It sounds
ice
better.
Ice is cold, so, you know, yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly, and it sounds so much better. Aaron, what's your thoughts on the game?
They're one of our, at the, like the last couple of years, they've been one of our rivals. You know, we've been close games last year. We had a double header up there, which was probably one of my favourite away trips of all time. And they're a great team. They got great players. Got a really passionate coach behind them. So, you know, they're essentially kind of a watered down version of us. If you could put it like that. So, and I think, you know, it makes for a great game, and I'm excited. You know, it sucks I can't be there because I don't fancy flying overseas to Belfast, but you know, I will make a trip. But yeah, I'm expecting to come away with the points. You know, they're down a goalie. They got a goalie who was allergic to cold when the sport's played on cold, which is somewhat ridiculous, but you know, there's weirder things out there than that.
One of them's speaking on the podcast.
I do think that if we play like the way we played against Sheffield last week, it's going to be an easy game. You know, we got fresh legs. We had that extra day off. Why not? Why the hell not?
And Sean, you confident going into it? Are you ever confident going into an away game in Belfast?
It's a tough place to go, without a shadow of a doubt. But as Aaron said, they're down there, their goalie. I'm unsure as to whether he will play or whether Jackson Whistle will. I think Jackson Whistle will play that game. So, they're going to miss Van Der Beek, without a doubt. It's going to be, it's still tough to go to Belfast. I don't care who, you know, what people say about it. It's a real tough place to go and win games. So I still don't think our record is that great, even over the last 3 years where we've done, you know, fairly good things and been quite successful in all our campaigns. I still don't think it's been that happy of a hunting ground for us. I think I've only ever seen us win there 3 times. I've been there for a good couple of years in a row. So, I don't know. I'd like to think that we could get a point. I think I'd be happy with a point coming back from Belfast, but you know, we've still got to maintain some good form. We want to go down the stretch again. So, I think this is a winnable game without a shadow of a doubt. They've all got to be winnable games because otherwise why bother turning up and competing? So, it's a Saturday game, which is nice because we get the flight under our belt, which is good. That's always dead handy. You know, you fly on the Saturday, you've still got fairly fresh legs. You don't have to bus it. And then you fly back. So you're not in for that tough of a travel day, you know, over the course of the weekend. So, yeah, I why not? I fancy our chances.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think I'd agree with that. And you know, if you're going to go to Belfast, if you're going to go into, you know, any of the games against the big league rivals, you want to do it on the back of some good form. And you know, Devils definitely in our best patch of domestic form this season so far. So, yeah, quietly confident. I think I'd probably place myself on that one. And then on to Sunday, where I think confidence is understandable. Edinburgh were only able to ice 14 skaters in their game on the weekend. And if you look at their league form, they've won 1 out of 12 games so far in the league. So, you know, a really tough start to the season for Edinburgh. I think injuries, I think they've had 3 players it was that walked out on them. And I think there's been one replacement with quite a young guy so far, Sean. So you're a team really in a difficult place at the moment.
Yeah, they are. I think they played with 14 skaters at one stage last week and they won 1 in 12. So, as you said, confidence should be, you know, of maximum going into that. But hockey's a strange game. You know, you never know. It's like, you know, it was a long time ago now, but a short bench team with not a great record, you know, that happened. I think it was, God, looking at it now, it's got to be, 11 years ago when we went into London in Lee Valley and lost 3-0. So,
yeah, Yeah, you know, it happens every season you get those results that shouldn't happen. You know, like Brayhead go to Belfast with a backup goalie and you put 50 quid on it and then Brayhead somehow managed to win short.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, it can happen, yeah. Tell me about it. Thanks for that.
Aaron, do you think possibly like overconfidence is a risk with the Devils coming into this one, that we've performed well in some big games since our little slump, but is there a risk of the players just thinking the job's done before puck drops?
I do think, depending on how Saturday goes, could affect the result Sunday. You know, if we play well and take the 2 points on Saturday, I do feel that we'll ease off a little bit and go easy and it could backfire on us. But, you know, if it goes the opposite way Saturday, then we've got to come back with some kind of response. And what better team to do it against than someone who's depleted and playing poor, so a couple of guys can get a goal. You know, a couple of guys like, you know, Lane Elmer's been on the scoring sheet last couple of weeks, but his scoring touch isn't quite where it was last year, so that Edinburgh game could be a game where he can find that touch that he once had and put some pucks in the net, you know, and he can start get going. Mark Lewis, another guy who hasn't scored, I don't think, yet in domestic competition. Hopefully he can get a goal and start his point scoring going. You know, his Lord isn't firing on all cylinders like he was last year. We got loads of guys, you know, who were in the top 10 point scoring last year. And I think playing a depleted Edinburgh team against the best team in the league is probably the best chance to get most of our guys with confidence and start winning games. So hopefully we can come in with our mindset, score a good couple of goals, couple of points each player, and go from there.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, these games, if they go the way you hope, it can be really good for that. And Sean, probably a chance for Tom Moody to get 60 minutes under his belt, would you imagine?
Yeah, I can't see why not. It's a good opportunity to you know, stretch our legs a bit with our goaltending power. And we Tom Moody's good enough to play against any team in this league. You know, he won games in Sheffield last year. So if we can't play him against Edinburgh, the worst team in the league statistically at the moment, then when are we ever going to play him? So I think that's a game which he has to play.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think that's everything covered. I promise you a compact episode this week. We didn't quite deliver. If you've got any complaints about that, please direct them to Jason Manley via Twitter. It's his question's fault. But thank you for listening. Thank you for your Ramites, your booning questions. As we always say, if you've got any, get them sent in to us and we'll read them out or discuss them on next week's show.
And you should have more characters to do it now as well. Thank you, Twitter.
Yeah, 280 characters. You can have a whole, an old whole tweet and an for good and an old whole tweet for bad for your Ramite. They're just making life easy for you guys. So we're expecting loads of Ramites to come in on single tweets next week. Thank you for listening from the three of us. We'll be back next week. But for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. Every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside.